The Homeless Podcast deals with topics of a sensitive nature and is not intended for all audiences. At times, this podcast may include explicit language or adult themes. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome to the Homeless Podcast, Season 1, Episode 7, a podcast that shares stories from the fringe of society. If you haven't already subscribed, please make sure you do so on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or wherever you may be listening right now. As you listen to this episode, please note that the opinions stated on the podcast by guests do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the Homeless Podcast itself. The Drum Circle, a gathering of spirits where hearts beat as one, where different beliefs, backgrounds, identities, and journeys come together as one. Unity is the focus, clarity the goal. As you walk among the dark forests in the Pacific Northwest, surrounded by mist and the sound of trees, you can feel the pounding beats in every step you take. Home to the Quileute tribe, Forks, Washington is a logging town where front doors stay unlocked, neighbors stop to say hello, and everyone knows, well, everyone. Here you will find Sarge's Place, a refuge for homeless veterans, and the home of David, the house manager. This episode is part two of an afternoon spent with David at Sarge's Place. You may recall David's incredible approach to life, but remember, David had to go through hell and back to get to where he is. From Park Avenue to Park Bench. David had it all. $1 million contracts, the house, the boat, the monetary security, which he will tell you is completely temporary. I usually edit out my own part of conversations in these podcasts, but I wanted to bring you along to join David and I as we discuss life. His outlook has had such a massive impact on me, and I want to share it with you. As a reminder, David and I are sitting in his warm and comfortable apartment at Sarge's Place, where he is the house manager. He is focused on all things peaceful combined with finding happiness through spiritual centeredness. In this episode, David and I talk about teamsmanship and camaraderie, about the unity of the military and what Sarge's Place offers its lodgers. David spent 3 years on the streets of Seattle and Tacoma, and when he visited the resource center, all it took was one person to offer him a cup of coffee and a smile. Acknowledgement is the key to empathy, and when we see a homeless person, all we need to do is recognize them as another human. David says, quote, "You just never know who you're going to touch," end quote. This is David.
This has been my home. You know, a lot of people out here that have really gotten close connections to to people out in this area. You know, I have a girlfriend out here now. I go down to Drum Circle. There's a lot of tribal members that are a huge influence on my recovery out here.
The Quinault tribe?
No, it's the Quileutes. Okay. Yeah, the Quileute tribe. And we drum on Wednesdays. What's today?
Tuesday.
They drum on Wednesday every night. And they've got a lot of recovery stuff going on down there. You know, we go up to Nia Bay on Thursdays, and it's a Wellbriety movement. You know, it's all 12-step based program, and it's just good stuff that's going on out here.
That's
the Macaw.
Okay.
Yeah, Macaw up in Nia Bay.
Okay. Oh, Nia Bay, yes.
Nia Bay, yeah.
Yeah, I've been up there.
Have you?
Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, they got a great museum up there, and it's cool. The cultures are as diverse as you know. That's what's nice about this area. You know, we've got the native culture, we've got, you know, and not just that, but you did the different walks and the different talks that are out here on the peninsula. That I call it, in the recovery world, I got this new thing going. It's remote rural recovery. Yeah, triple R, man. It's not like the big cities, you know. It's pretty raw. It's pretty raw. We don't have the services. We don't have the detox to go here tomorrow, go into treatment. You know, if there's anything I could change in my walk, would be the time when a person decides and a person can get in. You know, if there was anything, an awareness to that should be, when a guy decides to go, it's time to go. A couple of days we feel better, we're off and running again. There's situations that I think, and I've heard some of your people talking on the podcast. It would be great, if a lot of times we got to wait for a bit. And I think that's changing slowly. That wait time, and that's crucial. And the way if I can help one, maybe two, maybe three, maybe none, but I can. It's kind of selfish because I'm helping myself in my own way. I feel like I'm giving back. And it's cool. But the community out here, it's amazing, and the whole aspect of it. I couldn't plug the Quilly Tribe has been a huge, it's been nice to touch base. I had a native upbringing on the East Coast, and it's kind of funny, the rituals, the ceremonies. It's something special.
Yeah. Do you have Native background?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I do. I do. My mother was.
What tribe?
The Mashpee Wampanoag.
Is that that's total East Coast, like north of New York?
Yeah, we're the ones that the Pilgrims in.
Yeah.
Okay. No, it's Massachusetts.
Massachusetts.
Yeah. It runs deep in New England. It's right. They're coming out here and getting back into that part of the culture. My dad was. Was your standard white Irishman, So you had two cultural battles growing up, and it was cool, And those two could get along, sitting at the dinner table, So I think there's hope for all of us, And I was fortunate that I was raised on both sides of the fence, partially, And it's just nice. It's kind of, I don't know why things work or how they work or why I'm here or where I go. But man, if you would have told me 20 years ago, I'd be sitting in Forks, Washington, And it really is. It's kind of an interesting story. And I could quote out of a readings, they talk about our liabilities are our biggest assets now. And that for me is the fact. It is. And liabilities and moral defects that I went to such lengths and to come into a community that accepts you. Come on in. And it's nice. It's nice to have that. And this particular place is a good place for people to find their center. Not all of us do. We're all on our own paths. I think there should be more modeled after this particular place and the whole aspect around the country, not just for vets, though. I fight that a lot, too. Same thing with Joe and David. Joe and David. David's the vet. Joe's not. I'm going to take you. I understand the camaraderie, and it works around here, And I heard it the other day. You got that boot camp mentality. So that it does kind of work.
Well, and isn't there
Oh, yes.
Support system.
Absolutely.
There's nothing wrong with that.
No, not at all. Not at all. Yes, there should be.
Yeah.
There should be. And it works. They've got the little attic over here and the farm stand over here, and it builds revenue, and it does get guys intermixed back out into it, and the tireless work ethic that the board does, and even Sherry and Jennifer, I've watched it firsthand. you know, and of course, you know, you talk about change, getting out of your comfort zone and coming off, and that's what it, I think it's a place where coming off the street, coming out of the woods, coming out of the, wherever these gentlemen are coming from, it is a place to try to just settle in, you know, there's not a whole lot of chaos unless we make it, you know. And we do a lot of that ourselves, which, you know, isn't it the truth? Yeah, it happens. But this is a beautiful, beautiful thing for the community, I believe, you know. And it is what, you know, and it really is. For me, it was a point in my recovery that I was able to come up here, and I had only, you know, been clean a little while, and to center myself and to concentrate on where I had to go. You know, and this is not just recovery based. It's, you know, you got this mental illness going on. There's a lot. I can't even speak for what happens, you know, in these homeless states out there. You see a lot of more of it than I do now, but I'll never forget what it was like or where it was like. And it was a culture. You know, how do we break it? I don't know. I keep saying that. I don't know. I'm not afraid to say that now. Whereas before, I knew. And when I know, I don't. Yeah, it's kind of cool. One of the things we talk about. It's okay to say I don't know anymore, and just to listen. But yeah, it would be a great panel.
It would be
of
yeah,
12 people sitting around, and different cultures, different heritages sitting in a room.
The only requirement is respect.
No crosstalk.
No.
Just sit in a room and let's all go around. And listen.
I've learned the most from people unlike me. You know what I mean? That broke me. And until I was broken, I wouldn't fix. And it's a long journey to fix. And I don't think I'll ever fix. I think I will recover the rest of my life, just like everybody will recover the rest of their life. There's no, like, you know what? It's funny, David. I feel like people have this idea in their head where they say, that's where I'm going to be. When I get there, I'm going to be better. I'm going to be fixed. And then you get to that point, you're like, now what? This is not fixed.
I know.
You know?
You, when I listen to your introduction, that is so powerful as far as us. That's it. I'm done. I'm going out. The cost of you, it's one of your things. Yeah, we just want to pack up. You know, and we're trapped in freedom, I think was the title of it. And then that really, you're right, we get to that break point. And when we get to that point, it doesn't have to be addiction, you know, just we get to that aha, some, then we start having these aha moments that they talk about. But then they start, I know for you and what you're doing, It's kind of neat because there's not a lot of people that want to walk out there and see exactly what is going on. We've got all these hearsays and all these people out there that got loads of money and they got loads of opinions. And some are good. Some are really good, you know. And I just think being a foot soldier and seeing exactly, you know, there's great readings that are out there too. And I don't know, I'm sure you've read back some of the great sociologists of our time that compare these different societies, and we actually have a true blue American hobo among us here at Sarge's, and that's what he did, you know. Homeless, yeah. He was traveled from around, and I've learned and sat and talked. I've been so fortunate to be able to meet gentlemen like that, to hear their stories and what their opinions were and their thoughts were. And, yeah. Yeah, you know, and there's so much to gain from people just that have lived this, you know, and whether their choices or not, you just feel rich to be able to be around them sometimes, and I guess you're going to get to talk to someone else. But that point that we get that breaks us, yeah, that's the tough one. to try not to go back into that same pattern. Someone told me as a, and I heard it at one of these, and I go to meetings a lot, and And it's been out there a while, but it just makes sense, and it's real simple. And it's for anybody, like you just talked about, if you're right-handed, throw right-handed. But all of a sudden, you got to start throwing left-handed. And it feels really uncomfortable. You know, and until you practice, you can... And that's what my daily journey is. I gotta continually stay in it. Or I'll slowly go back to what's comfortable.
Well, I have to tell you, we only talked for, 5 minutes last time I was here, 10 minutes. And there's a little bit of you on the podcast that's coming out tomorrow, by the way. Really fun stuff. It was just me making fun of you because you're a Patriots fan.
Oh, okay. Come on now.
I'm just kidding. But, you know, you have truly inspired me, David. And you know, that's, I know that you're fighting ego. You brought that up a number of times.
Oh, every day.
But to see your humility is not just refreshing, it causes me to reflect. And that's important for me in my growth and my journey.
Yeah. But what I've come to believe, there was a gentleman, and it was at a ceremony, and he talked to the whole group, and it was a public opening, and it was a celebration of life. I don't remember what it was, but I remember what was said. And he was a leader, you know. Find our passion, what you just mentioned. Find that fire. Find that goodness, no matter what it is. But boy, he spread that to the whole group. And I've listened to some motivational speakers in my time. And boy, this guy was powerful. And he was just layman. And the answer is in all these, what they call spiritual laws, you know. Just find and just for your passion, man. And when we find that, you know, I was in the corporate world for a long time, in the business world, and you know, that's okay. That's a beautiful place. I'm not saying for me, you know, and it is, and they do wonderful things. You know, it just it made me see both sides of the tracks. You know, it's okay. You know, they say in our program, you know, we got what we call character defects, but we also got a lot of assets that I try to mention affirmations are important, you know, and if you can, so yeah, there's some good, I know there's an old elder that talks about ego, and you know, it's God given, and it's a protection, you know, it's our protection, our natural given protection, you know, it's like anything, we take our natural instincts and we extreme them and just, some in bad ways, some in good ways. And I guess we try to find center. It's the best we can do. So we worry about so many things that haven't happened or are going to happen or how we're going to deal with them, and they change before we even get there. And I've learned all this from people that have reached out to me. You know, I wish I these are things that have been passed on and it's so true. We worry about what you think. And it's easy to say. It's hard to do. Except for what I can say I've done, almost, not perfect, but with diligence and obedience, is take a time in the morning, sometimes during the day, just to do a little self-examination. You know, go, whoa, why are you pissed off at that guy? You know, what's he doing, man? What are you afraid of? And I do a reading in the morning. To put my mind, they say it's, and I'll do a reading at night. Whatever you want to read, thanks. I happen to read what they, you know, there's a meditation book that we read. And boy, it takes me out of myself. First thing, sometimes it takes an hour or two. And it's funny because I get so caught up in what I have to do to keep my day moving that it sometimes takes me that long to settle in, you know. But I know if I get too far away from reminders, you know, of this, what they call this universal spirit. You know, I think human nature is, we have a forgetter inside. There's something out of the Quran, too, that I read. Is we have a instinctive forgetter. We forget so easily, you know, and we want to go right back into what's familiar to us. But once we go, oh, wow, I forgot. Someone said, at least you reckon, that's the spiritual life. I thought that was pretty cool. that we look back and go, whoa, looking at ourselves, that is a spirit. People say, I'm not spiritual. Yeah, you kind of are. We all are in our own way, in our own beliefs. So but that's funny. Yeah, I fight that every day as well. And I think we always will. And I don't think it's a bad thing to look at ourselves. You know, I don't know. They say in some of the programs, yeah, that those fears slowly leave us over time. And I see it in people. I am so fortunate with these elders that I kind of hang with and talk with. And you know, someone just comes up and they ooze serenity. You just, you know, you've seen them, and just leaders around the world, there's some that just, they just ooze that peace that so many of us search for. Even in the streets, you can help those that you're familiar with, you know. And a lot of the vets, you know, whether it's Army, Navy, Marines, Air Force, you know, we had that regiment through boot camp, you know, and we had it in the services, whether we went to war or didn't go to war. There was a mutual, I believe, respect for each other. And there's one, see the little sign up there? I got it, no man left behind, you know. And that's that was actually made at OCC, a local prison. The guys made that up, and it was at an auction. That both communities, the tribal community and Forks, get together and have an auction every year for that stuff. And it's no man left behind. And a lot of that has to do with, I can walk in here and say what branch were you in, and it doesn't really matter, but you say, what's your MOS, what'd you do, you were a radio man. You've got that, you know, you've got that bond. It is a connection. Yeah. And it is something that we've all been through it to a certain extent. And it's something that's powerful. It really is a powerful thing, you know. When you come in, I know there's a bunch of Army guys will come in and they'll cook up for us and the barbecue and they take us out fishing. And there's always that, you know, the Army and the Marines, you got that little rivalry, you know, and, you know, the Marines, you know, and the Coasties. And you guys killed them, we saved them, that kind of stuff, you know. I mean, but it's all... When it comes right down to it, you know, it's...
You signed your name.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's a special thing that we have, you know, and some... Yeah. So that's why I think the unity that it brings us, at least for me, it did. It, you know, to be able to be welcomed in here and that stuff. And I got to flip that coin, though, is... I would like to see this model, not just for vets. Because it is a model, and then it's a special place. And I've been in some of the shelters just from my own experiences on the streets. You know, I've been in some of the city shelters, and they do the best they can with what they've got. I have to say that. I mean, because that was my life for a few years, and in and out on the streets. And there are services out there that, you know, there's a lot out there. There is a lot, and it's getting it to them, you know. And I know out in these remote areas, it's tough. It's tough, and I do know that the people that are working, most of these people that are working in the service work are bad. They're unsung, you know. We're so quick to say what they're doing wrong. Sometimes you can say, hey, you're doing something right, you know. And yeah, because there is so, you know, everybody wants to know why. You know, I understand, you know, it's the only, and I said it at the beginning, and I still, what's the solution? Yeah, no. Spilt the milk, we gotta clean it up, man. But why'd he spill the milk, or who made him spill the milk? I don't know. Yeah, it's one of those things. It does. It can get there. But there's a lot of good things going on in this. And I think there is. We always look at the bad, and I understand that in order to try to raise it up. But I'm one of those success stories. I don't want to blow the ego, but the system, much as I fought it, if the services, there was someone that reached out for me, and I wish, and I hope, And I believe it's happening, that there's somebody else will reach out. You just don't know who you're going to touch. That's what's so cool about it. You don't know. You remember. I remember a guy that don't even know I remember the guy. He was, I went to work in Idaho last, because last year I took a break and I went to work again, you know, and back into my industry, and I did really well. And I landed in this strange town, and I met a man over there that actually, this is the craziest thing, he was from Forks, Washington.
What?
No kidding, in Lewiston, Idaho.
Okay.
He was from Forks, Washington. He went through the recovery halls of Forks, Washington. And I walked into this meeting over there, and then he visited, I'm David, I'm from Forks. And the guy goes, Forks! And right away, man, I just, that man, he had more, he'll never know. But just the effect of what he had. You just don't know who you touch. That man, and I'd like to, I'll get a hold of him again someday. But he made you feel at home. But that's what I mean, these people that you run into and you reach out to. And it's, when it happens, it's cool. And when you feel like you say you have a time to get up all angst and ready and just, it's so cool to share that with someone because you're not the only one. I remember I met somebody and they said, you're not afraid of anything, are you? And I go, whoa. What? I said, yeah, 20 years ago I say that. I'm afraid of everything. You know? And those are the things that, vulnerability. You know, I'm just totally, yeah. I guess people say, do you change? Yeah. I know people that are on the walk that I'm on. I don't know those people that were out there before. And that stigma that you have and things that we have to live with makes it easier when you're with people that understand that walk that you're on. I mean, the judgments, that's, I can judge pretty quick, right? It's all wrong. My judgments and my opinions.
You don't know the answer. None of us know the answer. You know, it's hard. It's hard to watch.
Is there an answer?
Maybe not, but there can be an understanding.
Thank you. A certain degree. Is it, yeah. Who's right, who's wrong?
My mind is open.
Yeah, mine is too, and there's some laws that talk about do no harm to yourself or others.
Yeah.
I don't know. A culture that's out there, and I hate to say this, but it saved my life for a long time.
Sure.
I'm not promoting it by no means.
But birds of a feather.
Yes. I was welcomed into a place and able to do my deal to get through it, and I knew the guys on the streets, and I knew the cowboy hat guy, and the guy with the pink hair, and the guy with the Joe, and you all had your little place, and it's a society among a society, you know, that I don't know a lot of people are actually aware of that or not, but in the inner mixings of the cities and on the streets, there is a society among a society. There's the regulars, and then there's the passerbyers, and then there's the users, there's the runners. We all have our little titles and our little games, and it's not dollars and cents. It's another, you know, monetary value. You know, sometimes it's a blanket, sometimes it's socks, sometimes it's a bottle. But it's a system it's a system that saved my life. It's funny how you end up in that system and then you come to the other system, and it's a dark place. You know, it is a dark place. And if we can find our light, like that gentleman said it, that one, find that fire, some fire, you know, that burns, that passion that you talk about. You know, a healthy passion, you know, it's a beautiful thing, and spreading the word and trying to bring awareness to everything and everybody and put human faces on the guys. Yeah, that's just beautiful. You know, there's a face of what this problem is. And it is a problem, there's no question about it. People are afraid. You know, it's a fear, you know. It's the difference between spirituality and religion. Religion tells you where to look and what to see. spirituality just asked you to look. I like that.
Spirituality just asks you to look. I'm moved by David, by his words, his insights, his outlook, and mostly by his humility. David rose out of the ashes, and he is on his journey. He says that he is open to changing his opinions and has a growth mindset that most should envy. I do. In this polarized world where it seems everyone has an opinion about everything, I am slowly starting to learn about taking a step back, refocusing my approach to situations that may cause stress, and looking at each moment as an opportunity to grow. I will work on this until my dying day. David will too. It is in the power of awakening that we find open approaches to the spirits of others. Please consider becoming a monthly subscriber on Patreon. For as little as $3 to $5 per month, your support goes directly in the hands of those less fortunate through resources, warm meals, and giving hope to those that may feel life is just a downward spiral. I like to think the opposite. To me, life is an inverted spiral, growing wider and brighter the higher we climb. Let's share hope with those that so desperately need it. Visit patreon.com/homelesspnw to subscribe. It only takes 2 minutes and is less than one latte or a cappuccino per month. I will leave you with the words of Chief Sealth, the namesake for the city of Seattle, Washington, and the native chief who helped build a bridge between converging cultures in the Pacific Northwest in the mid-1800s. Humankind has not woven the web of life. We are but one thread within it. Whatever we do to the web, we do to ourselves. All things are bound together. All things connect. Thanks for listening, and see you in 2 weeks. Until then, don't look away.